Yep, this is going to be a bit different. I'm all alone. I said I wouldn't do this a lot after the last series of podcasts I did a number of years ago. I did a few alone. I love a conversation too much. I love the energy of it. I love the discovery that happens when you don't know what the other person's saying or what thoughts it'll trigger in your own heart or what discoveries you'll have. I love the power of a conversation, and we'll continue having those on Fridays. I want to try something different on Tuesdays for a while that we're already here. I've been looking for a way to do this for some time anyway. Been so busy though of late, not only with the God journey, the pandemic, but also some of the racial explosion that's been happening in our country. And because the language of healing to a polarized nation speaks directly into that, I have felt not only responsibility, but desire to be in that conversation as well. But the real passion of my heart is not about political things and not about national things. I have people that I care about that I want to help in those environments. But the reason I got on the journey I have is to help people explore this journey. And I hope these will be a little bit different. Because I want the more relaxed setting of just sharing some things that are on my heart. I actually did that on a very brief podcast in January, the first one of the year. And I had so many people write me just saying, I like this. I like just you sharing some of the things God's put on your heart, not in a teaching, preaching way, just sharing. And I went back and listened to that one. I thought, what was so different about that? And it was very different. I wasn't in podcast mode, and I didn't even know I had a podcast mode, but that's caused me to explore a little bit. So I've held that kind of in my heart, and so I'm going to try this on Tuesdays. If it's not fruitful, we'll trash it. But if it is, if it helps people, because the emails I get that make me the saddest, I probably got this one a few years ago. I just had the impetus to contact someone who'd been in my home for a couple of days, and they'd actually come to offer me something to do with Lifestream and offered me some money to be part of something with them, but I just didn't feel it was in my heart to do. In fact, they never ended up offering it when they were there because they had the sense that that's not where I was going, and they were right. But I contacted one of those brothers who'd been in my home, and I just asked him. I said, "How you doing?" And he wrote back, and he told me about how just that day or two in my home had changed the trajectory of his life and his desire. And he just realized as he was on a pathway that wasn't leading him where he wanted to go. And then this expression that absolutely hurt. He said, "It's taken me 2 years to find the trailhead." Oh, that makes my heart hurt. Except I've met many others who've told me the same thing, that coming out of the whole religious landscape and performance-based, here's the rules, follow them, here's what you should do, go do it, trying to earn their way into a relationship with God. And people who come out of that and hear some of what I talk about living loved, about enjoying a growing relationship with Father that's communicative and transformative. And then I get those emails from people who just say, I feel like God's never spoken to me. 40 years I've tried to follow this journey, or the 20 years I've been listening to you, and yet God's never made himself known to me. And I hurt with that because I felt like my journey was that too. It was 42 years of trying to find my way. I wasn't an adult during all those years, but 42 is when a transition in my life began to happen that this is going to express these series of Tuesday morning podcasts for a while. I end up on a different journey, not one I'd planned to be on, and one that I went on and kind of stumbled my way onto, and have loved the stumbling, have loved the changing, have loved how God makes himself known. And it's not all the ways I would like him to do it. It's not as overtly demonstrative as some people want, as maybe we think scripture would lead us toward. But I think this is the real journey where God is known, where the leaning into his reality changes me, and I don't mean changes me to make me something different than I am, but to make me what I really am, to make me who God made me to be before sin twisted it and before religion twisted it. One of the scriptures that used to always frustrate me was 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, particularly 18, where it talks about from glory to glory we're being transformed. You may have heard me talk about this before because it's one of those things that just used to drive me nuts. It says from glory to glory, but most of my experience in those days of religion, it wasn't that God wasn't real, because he was. And there were moments of clarity or God moving or incredibly powerful things that always seemed to just fade away. And so we always joked about mountaintop experiences, or, you know, going camps and retreats and trying to recover our first love. And it was all this because the journey was not from glory to glory. We're being transformed. It was seemingly from pit to pit, from one bad thing to another, from one disappointed expectation to another. And I used to play with this verse because I love it. It's such a beautiful verse. Let me just read to you 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 from New American Standard. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. And the context of that verse is Paul contrasting kind of old covenant, new covenant, old covenant with Moses. There was a glory in it. Man, God came down on Sinai and made himself known, and Moses' face just glowed with this iridescence of the Father's glory, so much that people could hardly look at him, or when they did, they're, oh man, something special. And then that glory started to fade away. And Moses covers it up with a veil. He doesn't, this we don't have in Moses' writings, but so Paul kind of gives Moses the idea that he was covering up so that people wouldn't see it fading. And contrast Paul's making is between the fading of religious approaches to God, not just the Mosaic law, just religious approaches. And they describe so well my journey before I came to know him in the way I have the last 25 years or so. It was always there. God was there. He'd make himself known. There was excitement. There was whatever. We feel like, well, we finally got it now. And then we'd head off down the road. We thought we had it, and it just seemed like it faded away. So we tried to work harder, and then it faded away even more, and just couldn't figure out what God was doing. And then you'd see that reflected in a new convert. And I don't mean someone you bludgeoned to the altar with guilt and shame. I mean someone who came into connection with a loving God, and for the first time in their life, the forgiveness of sins. And man, they were euphoric, and they were joyful, and they were an embarrassment to us who were more mature, who had been at this longer. And we'd look at them and go, oh my gosh, don't worry. And we'd say this, you know, don't worry, they'll grow up. They'll mature right out of this and become maturely depressed like we are, the from pit to pit thing. And so I've always had this verse because it's so poetic. It's so beautiful. It so makes a promise. And like many of us, many of the emails I get from people feel like, well, this promise of relationship doesn't work for me. You say God speaks to me, but God doesn't speak, or God's been silent. And I always write back, I don't believe in a silent God. Jesus talked about God's always at work. I think the whole universe cries out to us with the voice of God. I think we've learned to repress it. Not intentionally. We just have the way flesh has worked on us. The indulgence of human fleshy desire, the twistedness of sin and that. And I think the twistedness of religion has even dulled that voice even more. So we may see it in flashes, but when you need it the most, when you're in tears, pouring out your heart, begging for God to show you something, and you don't see it, how easy it is to get depressed and worn out and feeling neglected. And the email I get so often, I feel like God's that father that left my mom when I was born and may write back from a distant country once in a while, may even call once in a while, but it's not going to come and spend here, not spend any time with me. And it breaks my heart because I'm sure it breaks God's. He's with us all, every moment. In him we live and move and have our being. Paul said that to atheists. He didn't say it to Christians. In him we all live and move and have our being. God's glory, God's light, God's life surrounds us. And he wants us to embrace his glory. That's what I'm going to call this little series, Embracing His Glory. So I think there's a process that's come to me out of these last two readings of John. There's phrases and some of them from the Message, and we'll talk about them. We'll talk about different ones over the next, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 weeks. I'm not even sure how long it will go. It's not important that you know these things for it to happen. I just have seen people over my journey. I've seen people who grow and thrive in the life of Jesus. And it just seems like the simplest thing in the world. And They have this relationship with God that's growing and transformative, and it makes them more loving, more restful, more humble. And then I see people who go on a supposedly relationship with God that they get more arrogant and more demanding. And I kind of think, yeah, I'm not sure you're on that real journey. I'm sure it's His glory that's emanating out of you. You've turned religion into your taskmaster, or you've become a good teacher at it, or you've got books to sell, or you've got something that you want to promote. But what you're promoting is often filled with that smell of human sweat rather than the fragrance of Father. It's got a lot of anger in it. It's got a lot of telling people what to do in it. And it just kind of, I kick back on, I'm not sure that that's growing out of the glory of God, the relational glory that changes the way you live in the world and the way you treat people. Religious people are often angry people. Most pulpits are angry pulpits. As they try to tell people what to do or tell the world where it's gone wrong. And so I come back to this. God wants to make Himself known in all of us. There's a way God's glory is revealed in us and through us. And what Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 3, I now have seen. I can look back in my life now over the last 25 years and say, now I know that verse is true. From glory to glory. And we have to redefine glory, because you're going to think, oh, it's just one great thing after another great thing. One amazing circumstance after another. One big healing after. No, it's not that. Because the circumstances I've been in the last 25 years, some have been, yeah, absolutely gloriously wonderful. Others have been excruciatingly painful. Life comes at us in both mixtures, but the one thing I can say is constant looking back is from glory to glory. I feel like God makes Himself known, manifests Himself in ways, changes things in Wayne that I appreciate. I know my wife does. And I know friends I have. I know friends I have now versus friends I had 30 years ago treat me very differently and say very different things about me. And I, at the end of it all, I'm not sitting there saying, oh, I'm really getting this. You know, I'm just saying, God, thank you. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to take some of these mornings and I'm going to take Tuesdays. And they're only going to be like 15 or 20 minutes. I'm not going to jump on here with a full-blown help you understand some long-term thing. I want to give you the opportunity to maybe contemplate a different journey. Now, if you don't need this, if you feel like, man, your journey's working and the God thing's growing in your heart and you're seeing the changes in your life that lets God's glory peek out from your life even in unexpected ways, then skip Tuesday mornings. But if this journey's been a struggle for you and you don't feel like God communes with you and you don't feel like it's from glory to glory, you feel like it's just one struggle after another, and that you're alone in those struggles. That's really the key, right? That God's not making Himself known to you the way you want Him to, or the way you think Scripture compels Him to. Maybe that gives you a chance to step back and say, maybe there's a different way of doing this. And so I want to explore what God's glory is. I want to explore how it unfolds in our lives. And hopefully in this process, you and I get to see something different. And you're welcome, comments in the blog, whatever, to explore this with me, to maybe an after show or two. Because like my long conversation with Sean and the after story we did with Sean's just not feeling loved. And I think there's a lot of people in that for very different reasons, not always the same reason Sean's in it. I guess what'll help, especially for those of you who feel like, who now your shtick is to somehow protect something in you, that God just isn't real, that God doesn't do what Wayne says He's doing, that wherever you have excluded yourself from God's glory manifesting itself in you, I want you to be able to have some time to set that before the Lord and just say, God, I'm open to being wrong here. Not I've got to be an idiot and ignore my past experience and somehow try and pretend again and do some kind of mental gymnastics that God is real. But I want you to suspend, if you can, if you want to go on this journey with me, if you want to hold to Yeah, God's not real. He didn't speak to me. Or even if he is real, then I've really ticked him off in some way that excluded me from his life. If that's where you want to park yourself, I don't know how to save you from that. But if you want to suspend that, if you want to take a look at 2 Corinthians 3, beholding with unveiled faces as in a mirror. And there's two connotations in that word that I want to help you with. One is beholding, which is, man, we get to gaze on him with unveiled faces. We'll talk about that beholding. But the other part of that is also like the mirror. It's reflecting. It's not just I behold his glory. It's in beholding, I also reflect that glory in my life. And what you're going to find out, I think what we'll share in this whole, I was a conversation together, but I'm only one here. But what I hope we explore in this, whatever it is that God wants his glory to be known in you. And then how his glory is reflected in the world. It's not by bright shining stars streaking through the atmosphere. It's not through glorious revivals that we've come to interpret that. It's God makes himself known in the way we treat people around us without thinking. So this is not more works to go do. I hope the next few weeks is not, oh, here's some works to go do to act more like God's glory. No. God's glory shines best out of us when we're least aware, when we're just being in the world, the human being God's made us to be, that's gotten a little bit unraveled from the brokenness of sin and the deception of so many things we believe that are wrong. And as that gets untangled, then we respond in ways that are not with agenda, not trying to share Jesus, not trying to, but we just respond in ways in which other people see Jesus in us and see God's glory. And that opens the door for that kind of conversation. So I want to be open to that. I want you to just even pray between now and next Tuesday, just even talk to the Lord about it. Say, God, I want to behold you, and I want to be in this process where I'm unintentionally spreading your glory in the world. Because this is not about works. This is not about trying harder for God. And if any of you, I know when we start talking about relational stuff and you being involved, I also get that email. Of don't ask me to do another thing, the completed work of Christ, everything's been done for me. You know what? God's invited us into a relationship because he wants us involved. Yes, all the work has been done in Christ. But now how do I live in that reality? And I'm going to describe that process in a way I wish I'd known 25 years ago, but didn't. Now I can embrace that a little better. And I hope describing it on this podcast isn't like pinning the butterfly to the styrofoam, like we used to do for old bug collections back in the day. I don't even know if we still have styrofoam. I don't know what you make a bug collection out of, but we used to pin them. And by the time you pin a butterfly and get to look at it real close, it's no longer the playful, beautiful creature God made in the world. I love what butterflies add to Sarah's garden. They just dance. It's beautiful. And yeah, you'd love to just hold one in your hand and get a real close look at it. You can't till you pin it down, but then when you've pinned it down, it's no longer a butterfly. What we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, don't think of it as just intellectual exercises. I hope it's food for the Spirit that opens your heart to the Spirit of God and how he's at work in you to share that same glory with you. Might be something worth talking about.